Okay, TH. Or RK, I don't know. I'm looking at a documentary about one of those, you know, gurus, cult leaders, some tantric guy. Usual story, right? Gathering a bunch of people around them, promising spiritual ecstasy beyond all limits. Arranging courses, traveling around the courses, and then higher level, next level course. What they cost, I don't know. But then at one point, they were really gonna get, you know, now it's real self-realization thing coming here. The real tough thing, that is to beat your ego. And one guy said there, you know, it's like, I have to fight myself, my own ego. That what was it was about, destroy that. Because they had this idea that the ego is bad. And that's of course often what we think, you know, you got such a big ego. And I heard that and seen that attitude elsewhere too. In other spiritual groups, where you see people, and here was they interviewed one woman who got that treatment, and she said, you know, I've never been able to trust myself or anyone since that. I was so crushed. I felt so useless, so worthless. And yes, I've seen that treatment in action. So-called spiritual leaders who think that their way of leading their students or disciples or whatever, followers, is to beat them as hard as possible there in the ego and crash the ego and crack it and dissolve it, and then you'll be free. And it struck me now that it is that form of that kind of understanding of the spiritual that I was always against. And I would say that this is also a possible result or ramification, or natural, whatever, if it's so natural or no, but consequence of Advaita Mayavad, you know, this idea that all that we find here is illusion and unreal. You find that in Buddhism too. And even our self, our feeling of being me, an identity, a person, an individual, is false. Because what we actually are is just, we are just the oneness. There is just the oneness. And any perception of diversity, including that I am me and you are you, is illusion. And of course, the consequence of that will be then that the solution is to crush myself. But I say, and not only me, there are different schools there in India where all this comes from, where the actually main school, I think, and the one that makes sense. And I could sit for hours and speak about how I see that this is a misunderstanding here, or limited understanding that was taken into the extreme. But yes, we have this so-called ahankara, means the false ego, which is not me really, more like my persona, or that, you know, which I've taken upon, this material, mental identity, which is not me, as little as my social identity and so on is me. And that's what should be crushed. Or I don't think you need that heavy, violent treatment, but should be gradually waken up from. We should wake up from that, because it's a dreamy self. So, for instance, this bhakti yoga that I've been following all my life is soft, actually, because the way it approaches this whole spirituality thing is not to beat yourself, although there are sometimes, you know, that you should beat your mind with a shoe or something. Just, yes, we need to get some control over our mind and all of that, so it doesn't just drag us here or there, but not beat ourselves. And that's the important difference, because then we can really hurt ourselves, really. But rather, the smartest way and the more sublime and mature, spiritually mature way is that you dissolve gradually and let it take its natural time, that false ego, that ahankara, by starting to act and think and be in the real ego more and more, the real self. Because here, and this you find deep there in the, and I would say the majority of the Indian Vedic philosophy, if you really look at it, not the staying there with the oneness only, with no individuality, but God is a person, just like we are person individuals. But we are one with God, just as the sun rays are one with the sun. Although each sun ray is a little particle of the sun, a little ray or wave from the sun. Or a little twig on the tree is also the tree, but part of it. So this simultaneous oneness and manyness, you find it there all over in Indian philosophy. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is called in the Eastern India, Gaudiya Vaishnava, and you find Vishishta Dvaita, and you find Dvaita Dvaita, and there are different schools like that, that all are different versions of this understanding there. Which makes sense to me, because that's how we find the world around us is. We are a family, but we are also individuals. We are a nation, but we are also individuals. And in nature, as I said, this the tree, the sun, things are like that. There's a simultaneous holistic oneness to the world, but also individuality, which is necessary for relationships. And relationships, that's what love is about. So in this way, love, the way we feel that love is naturally, because the essence of the bhakti yoga school, bhakti means love and devotion, is that love is all you need. You could say love is the essence of you know, the meaning of life, the whole sweetest, highest, at the center of everything. Not emptiness or just some energy or something like that. And love is expressed like that between individuals, persons. It would be rather boring to just be, if you're God, to just be a oneness, impersonal oneness. So, yeah, a little bit about Indian Vedic, Vedantic philosophy. We can talk more about it. But I find this very, these questions, although to some it may seem like, oh, some kind of religion or whatever, but or some philosophy way out there. But, you know, it has to do with very practical daily lives here, our lives, how we experience it. And, of course, that's why so many people, after all, they turn to these kind of spiritual movements. I don't know if they call it cults anymore, but, you know, and sometimes they... More often than not, it seems, unfortunately, they get bewildered or you know, misled by some, you know, the usual narcissist, psychopath person who just wants to, yeah, I'm going to be the big one here. I'm God, you know. So, well, you know, you judge by the result. But I would say, if someone comes to you as a teacher and says, you should listen to me only and fully and trust me fully, no matter what, then be a bit careful. Because a real wise person would say, you should question me as you question everything. You should learn to think for yourself. I'm just showing you what I can show. And then you listen what I have to say, you look at what here and make up your mind. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna, you know, Krishna is God there in the Bhagavad Gita, talking to his friend Arjuna, this whole book of timeless wisdom that has been with us for thousands of years now. And then in the end, basically he says that, now I have told you everything I can tell you, and now it's up to you. Just please consider all this and do what you want to do. So it's very, I mean, even God does it like that. If someone tries to destroy your ego and make you surrender that, your whole self, to that person, well, you know, that may make that person feel very good. But chances are it won't make you happy. Maybe for a while, but truth prevails.